D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm set nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Yeah.
B's and B-Boys. Uh-huh. Saints. B's and B-Boys. I love this book.
He called it. Welcome in another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording live from the SEC Sports Pub with me. To my right, Heath Elson-Son. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. On the board, Wesley Coleman. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, we'll be talking more Saints, playoff football, and nonsense that anyone needs to know about. So grab a drink, sit back, and relax, because from Rustin and Monroe, Farmerville to Jonesboro, we're going to do 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the SEC Sports Pub, BS and Beer style. Gentlemen, it is playoff time. It's in the air. You can smell it. You can feel it. You can touch it. It's all over the place. It's like the force.
Dude,
it's around us. It surrounds
once in a while.
What? Oh, yeah, this the smell maybe. All right, listen, before we get into this, Monday night, I saw something that I never thought I'd ever see, and that's Coach Saban sitting on the sideline, dumbfounded. Like, I wonder if he's ever, like, he's probably like, man, I've never felt this way before. No. What is this feeling I have?
No.
It's kind of a little bit of disgust.
Because he became an official Gump.
He's a Gump now?
Yeah, he's a Gump now.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, those guys are so spoiled. I mean, Alabama fans, as dumb as they might be, I'm kidding. I'm sure they're all wonderful people. But anyway, I bet you he's getting tore up because they don't understand what it is to lose. They get mad when they lose a game, a championship game, and it's a close game.
Yeah.
Now they got beat 44-16, and I don't even know. I mean, like, literally, I'm like, what is going on here? And he had just like this demeanor, just like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this.
I don't know. Maybe that was the end of Saban. You know,
you think?
I don't know. No, it's wishful thinking, but you know, who knows?
No, I don't think so. Not with the recruiting class he's got coming in next year. I don't think so. Because the cover's not bare, and you know, he was just out coach, plain and simple.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, second time. You know, that's the problem.
You know, and truthfully, it probably would have even been a better game had it been Georgia instead of Alabama. You know, but Georgia messed up too. So it's just what happens in a regular season. You know, you're still talking about college kids. So you're not talking about just what happens to them when they get drafted and go to the pros. They're great for the first 12 games, and then all of a sudden they're like, what, we have more? You know, so.
Yeah.
So, Wesley, do we have a new greatest college quarterback ever to play the game? I thought he played for Alabama, but I guess I've been confused because apparently, no, he plays for Clemson now.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, man, for a true freshman, that guy is humming the ball and is super composed.
Who only started playing because of an injury.
He wasn't even a starter.
People are already talking about wanting the Saints to tank in 2 years and hope Drew Brees
I saw that.
Do a Mike Ditka draft so we can get the guy.
I saw Gil Brandt was saying the same thing. Start trading for your 2020 picks. Yeah, yeah. Get them loaded up.
Alabama's got a lot of people returning for next year. They're losing very few starters.
Yep.
But still, this is a kind of beatdown that really does probably have a hangover and could have a carryover to next year, not only with their confidence, but with the confidence that's about some other teams playing them. LSU's got a great recruiting class coming in. I wouldn't be surprised to see a pretty good game between the two of them next year.
So in Alabama have a hangover, they'll only beat you by 20 or 30 instead of 40 or 50?
Let me tell you what I think the worst hangover part is. We still haven't come to final signing date.
Right.
Huh. Now, that's
the
one thing.
And so come February, there'll be some people who might have been on the fence who might say, well, what's the future going to be like? You know, will Saban stay past one more year? Will he move on? Do I want to go to a school?
That's a good point, Tomas. You know?
So, to me, I think it's the most dangerous part of this for Alabama is that signing day is still a month away.
Let's get the show
tonight,
started.
On BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night, here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
Y'all have no idea what I put up with behind the scenes here. Wesley, you're just a jerk. That's what it boils down to. I know you think you're funny. You know he reminds me of? You watched Seinfeld back in the day?
Yeah.
He's Kramer. Like, you know he's funny, yeah. But if you had to live with him or he was your neighbor, he would wear you out, man.
No steal, though.
All right. Hey, let's talk some NFL playoffs. We it's all set. The Saints are going to be playing the Philadelphia Eagles for the second time. I don't think I watched the game again today. I don't think that the Saints are going to beat them 48-7. Don't think it's going to happen. But I tell you, my opinion, and maybe we can start getting some general thoughts on this, is I just don't know. Like, I don't think the Saints are going to – just everything has to go your way to beat a team that bad. But – to me, I would rather play the Eagles, and I'm hearing so much from the Sports Talk ESPN, NFL Network. It's like it's all Eagles and all Cowboys. That's all they're talking about. And I would rather play a team that's average on offense and average on defense than a team that's great on one side of the ball or other, because they could always put it together and beat you, like Chicago, for instance. It's my opinion Chicago come up with a great game plan and do a Dallas to us. Potentially,
right?
Hold you to 10 points. They kick a field goal at the end of the game and beat you. Or maybe the Rams, no defense, but man, they're on fire. They outscore you. Philadelphia is not going to beat you with great defense or great offense. And I think, to me, still the best option. Heath.
Well, I get what you're saying. Philadelphia is a hot team right now, though.
True.
You know. Even though they didn't look that great in that Chicago game, that was kind of which team wanted it the least, you know, which kind of was a theme for the weekend, really, with all the games. But, I don't know. I mean, I think the Saints can beat them. I really don't think they're that good. But they are peaking at a good time, you know.
True story. Tomas, the Philadelphia Eagles – They've won several games in a row. They're in the playoffs. They go into Candlestick. They go into Chicago and beat them in what's generally considered a pretty tough environment. I mean, are they back to being an NFL type?
Well, let me ask you this, Dave.
Super Bowl type team?
You watched the game, so let me just ask you this. So the Eagles go ahead. They kick the ball off. The Bears get the ball. Did they stop the Bears?
No.
The Bears, with less than 2 minutes, start driving a ball right down the field. And Philadelphia knows they're going to drive the ball down the field, not running it for 2 yards and the trail is, you know, a puff of smoke. They're throwing the ball. And Trubisky, who's not the greatest quarterback in the world, he drops a dime on was it Jeffrey? You know, I think it was Jeff, to put him in a position. Now, I'm just saying this to you. I saw nothing with either the Chicago Bears or the Philadelphia Eagles that worries me one single bit. They got one defensive back, and that's the guy who used to play for the Saints, Jenkins. And last time he came into the dome, he talked trash, and Peyton said, all right, let's go for it and burn his ass. So I'm not worried about, you know, they have a fantastic front seven. There's no doubt about that. But their defensive backfield is trash. You know, I mean, they could have Webb, Devontae Harris, Sterling Moore, and it'd be an improvement over what they have. So I'm not concerned. Dallas, any team can beat you if you play 3 games in 11 days and you pick one of those games to say, I'm not going to be my best. And that's how Dallas beat the Saints. The Dallas Cowboys and the Saints play with 1 week rest in between games. They don't beat the Saints. So, having said that, I don't really care whether it's Dallas, Philadelphia, Chicago. Saints play their game. We heading on.
I think we might be on the same page, but we're going to go into some depth, and I'm sure that Wesley has some statistics for us to back it all up. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We're going to talk wall-to-wall Saints. Don't go anywhere.
You know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking us for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, we don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, fellas, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. Visit MyBookie online. That's MyBookie. And don't forget, you play, you win, you get paid.
Welcome back, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Wesley Coleman on the board. We're going to talk wall-to-wall Saints. It's playoff time. It's been set. The Saints are playing Sunday afternoon, the late game, against the Philadelphia Eagles, who they played early in the season, beat 48-7. I don't know. We talked about it a little earlier. I don't think that it'll be a replay of that. But watch the game again earlier today. And the Saints ran the ball. I expect to see a little playoff Josh Hill, because Josh Hill actually got a lot of action. You know, and I don't know exactly what it was for early in the game.
He got some incentive.
He got that new contract. That's right.
I'm
that's
just
right.
telling you.
The Saints ran the ball really well. And quite frankly, look, we did it without Ted Ginn Jr. We did it without Armstead.
Yep.
Well, we'll have Ted Ginn Jr. back.
Well, Armstead will start. He'll try.
We'll see.
No, he'll be out.
And this is the thing that maybe – okay. So, Armstead, we still don't know is that peck? Is it healed up?
No.
Is it – did he – they said he had a setback or a re-aggravated injury. Is this an injury that – It's injured. There's nothing he could do about it until he gets surgery or, you know, 6 months of rehab. Or is this something that, hey, if we give it, like what we have done, a few weeks, it'll heal up enough where he can play? I mean, can I get a doctor in the house, please? Someone, anyone.
Well, I'm not a doctor of science of medicine. However.
Here we go. However.
I would just ask you this question, Dave. You ever work out?
Yeah, I used to.
So when you work out really, really hard and suddenly you went, dang, I think I hurt something.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Like it sounds familiar, but keep going.
Okay. I think I hurt something. And the guy next to you in the stall says, well, dude, you shouldn't pull it so hard. In any case, Wesley missed that one. You see, yeah, it was a good one, Wesley. Yeah, you didn't give me a good response.
He did.
But anyway, seriously, if you are lifting weights and you tear a muscle, even if it's just a little partial tear, it takes weeks for you not to be in pain, and you really can't use that muscle group for a while.
Yeah.
Anybody who's been to the gym has experienced that at least one time where they try to match a grunter next to them.
See, when once they get to the off season, they could use peptides and HGH and all kind of other stuff to speed up the process.
Can't do it now.
But it's a little risky during the season, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Even now, ice and heat, that's it.
I guess the question is, where is Bushrod in his progress or
whatever?
That's
the question.
Frankly, if Bushrod could play, I would try to go with Bushrod and keep Armstead out as long as humanly possible.
Yeah, I agree.
But then the other question is,
what about Pete? Because he left the game. We know he hurt his hand. Most of the things I've seen was that he hurt his thumb.
Yeah. Well, hang on, though. Let's go back to the Bushrod thing.
Yeah.
Now, because this is the argument that I'm reading on the internet, and I find it interesting, and I think it has merits on both sides, is like, hold out Armstead until when? I mean, it's the playoffs. Now, I don't disagree with you, because I'm thinking to myself, listen, I wish I could remember someone put it, and they said, would you prefer to have Bushrod start now with Armstead, start now with at 50% health with a 50% chance of getting re-injured, or would you prefer to wait another week and he'd be 70% with a 30% chance of getting re-injured? And I think that, to me, makes most sense, because there's no reason, if it turns into another Pittsburgh situation where he goes in, he plays, two series, comes back in for one more series, he's done for the game.
I mean,
what's
me
the point?
Personally, I would try to start Bushrod. Armstead could certainly be the backup if he's in an emergency situation, if he has to come in. But, I mean, I'm assuming that since they sat him out earlier in the season and then got to a point where they felt like they were ready to put him back, there's some sort of improvement taking place.
I agree.
Okay,
with you.
So he hurt himself again. If you could leave him out, and I'm not another saying week. It will be another week, another 2 weeks, all the way to the Super Bowl if possible. I mean, I don't know. It depends on how well Bushrod would play,
right?
Whether he stays healthy.
Well, because one of the things I noticed, Tomas, that, you know, we talking about Bushrod, rewatching the game, I watched it with a little bit different emphasis, and they actually chipped quite a bit. And, you know, Bushrod's played solid ball. But if you don't pay close attention, you that solid ball could be with a lot of help. Now, obviously it didn't slow the Saints down. So, you know, if they line up a tight end, Kirkwood chipped quite a bit. Matter of fact, there was one particular play in the first half where he chipped the defensive end that Bushrod was blocking. Then he went and caught a pass for about 12 yards in the first down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think the chipping is an issue. To me, I agree with you that if Bushrod is 90%, I would rather play Bushrod and let Armstead have another week. But that's only if Pete is good enough to play guard for the whole game. Now, if Pete is not good enough to play guard for the whole game, then I don't know. Things change because you're one and done. You know,
yeah.
You have five offensive linemen. If we're missing one offensive lineman, I don't worry too much. I think we can pick it up.
Yeah.
But if we're missing two offensive linemen, then I'm a little worried, especially if one of those two is a swing guy who plays both guard and tackle.
Right.
Now suddenly you don't have either one.
Well, I tell you what, Wesley, one of the reasons I'm not very worried about Pete is because it was a hand injury. I mean, how many times have we seen in the playoffs or in the regular season, they wrap it up, put a big old cast on it.
Well, that'll cure his holding.
Yeah, there'll definitely be no holding. Yeah, yeah. But I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
They'll still call it on him.
They'll still call it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really not worried about the Pete injury too much. I kind of agree, too, with you all about I think the general idea is that if Armstead's can be healthier for the NFC Championship game, that's probably more important. I mean, the last time we played the Eagles, yes, they didn't have Darren Sproles, and they're switched quarterbacks. But we didn't have Teron Armstead, Marcus Davenport, or Ted Ginn Jr. in that game and won 48-7. So I don't think that, you know, Darren Sproles and Nick Foles coming in for Wentz makes up for what we get with Ted Ginn and Davenport. Like, I don't see how this is going to be a close game. I don't think we're going to win by 41.
No, well, that's the whole thing. I mean, Philadelphia is definitely better, but are they better enough to go from 48-7 to actually beating the Saints? And I'm going to say no.
No, I think the Saints will win by 10 at least, but no. But I'm going to give you this other little.
They have the exact same defense.
Right.
And secondary and defense, their defense, 100%, all 11 people are exactly the same as what we played in that 48-point game.
Right.
Which is, you know, that's one of the things that I tried to look up. I didn't spend that much time, but seeing if anybody came back from injury reserve, and Wesley just answered that question.
Well, that was that one cornerback they kept talking about in the game that since he came in, the rookie or whatever.
Right, that he's improved quite a bit.
Yeah.
But he also bit on so many pump fakes and double moves.
Double moves.
Yeah. No, I mean, Philadelphia squandered some opportunities in that Chicago game.
Yeah,
I mean, they really outplayed Chicago by more than what it seemed.
I would agree with that.
Now, I'm going to give you one more little thing to think about. You know, they all talked about how great the Chicago line was. Right? They didn't really hit Foles that many times. I have a sneaky suspicion that he'll get hit a lot more times by the Saints defensive line.
Yeah.
And you're nursing broken ribs or whatever kind of rib thing he has going on. All it takes is one serious shot by, like, Davenport lying on top of him.
Yeah.
There you go. Yes, Wesley.
So one thing is, and I realize, I say and I stand by that any win in the NFL is a good win. Like, it's the NFL, you can always lose. But since we beat them 48-7, their wins, they beat the Giants. Honestly, the Giants are a horrible team this year. They beat the Redskins when the Redskins were starting Joe Theismann at quarterback.
Yep.
They lost to the Cowboys in overtime in Dallas where – a lot of people agree one of the worst refereed games that they've seen in a while. They went and beat the Rams. Quality win, but this is in the middle of the Rams dealing with some injuries too. But I'll give that a quality win. And then they beat the Texans, who just got knocked out of the playoffs.
Right. Do you know,
and then
Wesley,
they beat the Redskins,
hold on a
again,
second,
who were starting Mark Rippon at quarterback.
Right. Look, that's true too. One of the things I heard a stat today I didn't hear prior to the last round of playoffs. Do you realize that the Texans did not beat a team with a winning record the entire season?
Oh, really?
I didn't hear that until Monday.
I didn't hear that before. Yeah.
And, the time of playing, they didn't have – and then just to go with – Dave, you said about the Bears that Chicago being a tough place to play. Chicago hasn't made the playoffs in 8 years. They're not – it's not a tough team. And we talked about last week a bunch that they had a really cupcake schedule, and a lot of people are like, wow, they're 12-4, but who have they beaten?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, so I'm not sure how quality – I mean, again, a win is a win. That's a big deal. But the Eagles have had a pretty interesting schedule since they lost to us 48-7.
Well, I'm going to say this, Wesley. In my defense, when I say that Chicago's a hard place to play, and I saw you have that constipated look on your face when I made that comment, so I knew sooner or later you'd bring that up. But
yes.
What I'm saying is that if you're not accustomed to the weather – to the field, to the, you know, and listen, it's playoff time. It's a tough place to play traditionally. Just because they haven't made the playoffs, if the Saints didn't make the play, well, we didn't. For 3 years, we were 7-9. We didn't make the playoffs. That doesn't make the Dome any less difficult to play when the Saints finally do make the playoffs. So, in my opinion, based on history, now look, I wasn't playing the game, so maybe I'm just saying this and we can debate it, but I think that Chicago, generally speaking, is a pretty tough place to play.
It is, but a big part of Chicago being a tough place to play is weather, and that wasn't a factor in that game.
Good point.
It wouldn't be a factor for a Philadelphia team either.
Maybe it's a factor for the Rams or for
– It certainly was a factor for the Saints, right? That's how come we all still remember it. I mean,
absolutely. You know? And you know
what? But that weather that day was really
bad. Yeah, it was particularly bad.
And you know what? Maybe that's the stuff that stuck in my head when you're like, oh, playing in Chicago in the play because I'm a Saints guy. I follow the Saints.
No,
I think about
a rabid fan
base. We were a young
team, thing, you know, I mean.
And when it came with that bad weather, there was no way we were going to win that game.
Yeah,
I believe we did play a road game in Philadelphia a few years later that we won, though.
Yeah. Well, but then we weren't such a young team. I mean, that's what
figured
I'm saying.
Out. Correct.
You know, we were a very young team, and you know, it wasn't expected for us to be there at that point yet.
No.
All right. So something that I want to bring up. If you watched the Dallas game, apparently Hearns went to injured reserve. One of the more gruesome injuries. Now you mentioned Joe Theismann, Wesley. I mean, that was a gruesome injury, but this may have been the single most gruesome injury that I've ever seen in football. And maybe we can bring it up. Maybe we can talk about some. But listen. Yeah. I was sitting there on the couch, and I'm watching the game, I would say casually. I wasn't sitting there glued to the TV. You know, I'm conversating, I'm talking, and I'm having a beer. And then that happened. I'm like, oh, man. And I turned, and I'm talking, and I look back at the TV. I'm like, he's laying on his face. Is that his foot sticking straight up in the air?
Yeah,
and he was – I've heard jokes. I've seen it where guys got hit, and their leg got broken. They show it in slow motion, and from their knee to their ankle is flopping because it's broke. But this – he was laying on the ground. His foot was sticking. He face down on the ground. His foot was sticking straight up.
Yeah.
Now, I know Tomas already pointed out, and he said he's not a doctor, but I just want to say I looked into it, and as of Tuesday, he has been placed on IR. He is not going to return this season.
No, he's out.
Casey, if y'all were.
Well, and I'm glad you pointed out.
If we play them again, Allen Hearns won't be on the field.
I'm glad you pointed that out because during the game, they came back in the second half and they declared him doubtful.
Doubtful
return. And I was like, man, anyway.
Did you see it was actually listed as a dislocated ankle, not even broken? That was a dislocation.
Wow.
And you know, to be a dislocated ankle.
That looked too high up to be a dislocation.
I thought so, too.
It was dislocated like about 3 inches below the knee.
Yeah, the bones were dislocated from one
that
another.
That would
be
a terrible thing. That's even, a break would be better than dislocation because dislocation means that you've torn all the tendons that are the support mechanism for the
– That looked too high to be – I don't know. I mean, but, either way, it was –
Well,
it was,
I would say this to you, Dave. I can remember one injury off the top of my head that was worse, and it was the Saints-Chicago when the Chicago tied in – snapped his leg in the end zone.
Yep.
And
they said the doctors in Austin saved his life.
I forgot about that.
Don't you remember that? If he wouldn't have had what he had at that moment on the field, they would have had to amputate his leg.
I forgot about that. His leg collapsed like an umbrella.
He stepped
on his leg and it just collapsed on itself, man.
Exactly.
It was,
and that was much worse, I thought.
Zach Miller.
Yeah, I got chills.
Zach Miller.
I got chills thinking about
that. And he's actually playing again.
He's trying to make it back. Yeah.
Now, you know, in the case of the Cowboys, and I know Wesley's familiar with this, what happened to Hearns is he bought a hat instead of boots. And so, therefore, that was the problem. Wouldn't you agree, Wesley? That might have been the problem.
I think that was what happened.
There you go.
That would have been a good transition out of this segment into a commercial break. But unfortunately, we still have some ground to cover.
I had no other place that I could put it, but I thought that was a good location.
Everybody's like, what are they talking about? You have to be here during the break.
Dave's got a place you can put it.
Wow. Oh, there you go.
Whoa.
All right, moving on.
But would you want to?
Keep all the hell. Keep order, I said.
Okay.
All right, so let's move on. Dallas, Seattle, about what I expected. I tell you, my biggest issue, what I found, and maybe it's just, I don't know. I mean, I generally pay attention, but the media, you listen to local people, and they're going to give you their analysis of the game. You listen to national people, and they're going to sell you on the game, meaning you could put a team, maybe let's say a team that got beat 48-7 about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and somehow convince you that this is going to be a great game and that team has a great chance of winning the game like they're doing with Philadelphia and New Orleans. But I'm talking Dallas, Seattle. Going into the game, I'm like, this is going to end up, and it ended up exactly like I thought it would. But the media would have you believe Seattle was just an amazing team that everybody's peaking at the right moment.
Yeah, best 9-7 team ever.
Oh, yeah, it's just unbelievable. So they go in there, really – okay, you got to hand it to Russell Wilson. And Wesley, I don't want to hear nothing from you for the rest of this segment. I'm going to go ahead because we were texting, and Russell Wilson is a man. He is the only real threat on that offense. Matter of fact, maybe on that entire team. And he keeps that offense going. Having said that, their offense still isn't very dynamic or super effective. And if it's not close and he doesn't have a chance to pull off one of those spinning passes, no look and accidentally trying to throw it out of bounds and hits a receiver.
Yeah.
They have nothing, but that's what ended up happening. Absolutely nothing. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. Come back. We're going to talk to John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. Don't go anywhere.
BS and Beer podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew, on the line with me, as he is just about every week, John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. John, it was refreshing, relaxing maybe might be the right word, a weekend of football where the Saints, you didn't have to worry about losing. So you sit back, you relax, and I got to tell you, personally, I wasn't overly impressed with the field out there. The game that we probably going to want to talk the most about, the Bears and the Philadelphia Eagles, quite frankly, I thought it looked like a battle between two bad teams, but I know other people have different opinions.
Yeah, look, I didn't think – I think we alluded to it some, but, you know, I didn't think the Bears were – as strong maybe as some people have made it out to be. And what I mean by that is I think they were going to live, breathe, and die on how that offense played, not necessarily defense, and not having Trey Burton kind of really hurt them because you had Malcolm Jenkins being able to go up against Tariq Cohen, and Cohen was a non-factor that game. So, look, I think it's a nod to the Eagles. They got a couple of chips to fall their way, and there's something to the argument, you know, playing good football down the stretch making wonders for you. So Eagles, hats off to them. They pulled the upset.
Well, I think something you just said there about the fact that you're playing good football down the stretch, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, we've complained a little bit about how the Saints have been playing the last month of the season. Doesn't mean that they can't get back to that football as they get healthier. But, you know, the last thing you want to do is see a hot team. It doesn't matter what their record is. They say it's when you play them, not who you play. So right now I'm not saying I'm not worried about the Philadelphia Eagles, but to me, matchup-wise, they're not great at any aspect. The Bears, very good defense, offense suspect. But, you know, the Eagles have a much better offense, but their defense isn't great. So I don't know. To me, I think I'd rather the team that couldn't just put it all together on one side of the ball or one aspect of their game and beat you. I think Philadelphia just simply isn't good enough at any particular area to exploit the Saints unless the Saints just come out and just don't play well at all.
Well, look, I mean, you peel back some of the layers in this game, right? I mean, Philadelphia only had 300 total net yards. The rushing game was pretty garbage. Nick Foles, he threw it 40 times. He was intercepted twice, and he had, what, 25 of 40, I think is what it was. I mean, you look at some of that, and you know, the Bears' inability, I mean, this is a team that had, you know, 50 sacks on the year, tied for third most in the NFL, and
Khalil Mack doesn't get any, and they have one sack the whole game on Foles. So, look, if I'm looking at it, I mean, I don't think they really wowed anything as far as how they were able to do. They just came up when it counted the most. I mean, Bears were, you know, they're 5 of 16 on third down, so I think that plays into it, obviously. And, look, Allen Robinson went off for the Bears for what it's worth. He had over 100, almost 150 yards receiving, so I think that bodes well for the Saints. You know, they didn't have Ted Ginn Jr. in this matchup for the first time around. They didn't have Marcus Davenport, and they didn't have Teron Armstead. So I feel much better about their chances this time around. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I really feel like, you know, matchup-wise, they are superior to the Eagles.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And generally speaking, you talked about you don't think it'll be a blowout. For any team to beat another team, that especially a playoff team like the, you know, the Eagles, for whatever issues they've had this year, they did make the playoffs. They're a solid team. To get a blowout like that, you just have to have everything you go your way. And I just don't see it being something where they're not going to be prepared. I think that the Saints will win, and I think that it won't necessarily come down to a last-second field goal, but I'm not looking for a, you know, a 30-point or 20-point blowout. Now, another game that I think that we will find interesting, because if the Saints do go on to win, they'll be playing either the Dallas Cowboys or the Los Angeles Rams. Dallas has been playing really good ball. They're the team that beat the Saints a little bit earlier in the season. They play solid defense. I don't know if they can match up against either the Rams or the Saints on the road. And quite frankly, based on the circumstances, I'm not exactly sure if Dallas has what it takes to beat either the Saints or the Rams. What are your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, look, I think when you look at it, Ezekiel Elliott is the focal point of the Cowboys offense. Let's get that straight. So you've got Ndamukong Suh, Aaron Donald, all those guys that you've paid all this money for. This is a time where they have to come up and make it. They got to take Elliott out of the game. I know he's good out of the backfield catching passes, but let's face it, he's not an Alvin Kamara or Mark Ingram, in my opinion, when it comes to receiving out of the backfield. So, look, if I'm the Rams, I'm getting a little bit aggressive. It's Wade Phillips. You know, he knows how to get the best of some of the defenses at times. And, look, I'm isolating Elliott, and I'm making Dak Prescott beat you. And, look, I think their move is doubling up Cooper and trying to see if Gallup and Beasley can do anything against them. You know, I just feel I haven't been sold too much on Dallas this year. At home, they're fine. They're good. On the road, they're not so good. I mean, this is a Giants team that put up over 30 points on them the other week. So, and I get they may have had some people out, but this is playoff football. So, look, I think the Rams can easily take that one.
Yeah, I look for it, and, you know, maybe I shouldn't get ahead of myself. And matter of fact, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. Let's switch gears here and get to our Saints team, who didn't play this past week because they were the number one seed and they had a bye week. There are some guys, and I think this bye week couldn't have come at a better time. Injuries on the offensive line, and I think that's been the narrative so far over the last few weeks, is to get these guys healthy. A healthy offensive line for the Saints puts them ahead of any other team, and I include the AFC teams as well. I think that this time off, we're still going to have to see where Armstead is, and even if he does play, probably won't be 100%, but it's going to be imperative that the Saints offensive line be as close to what we expect from them if we're going to make a run in this playoffs.
Yeah, I think my biggest concern might be Pete, just the way he kind of exited that game against the Panthers. Kind of awkward. I mean, he was barely engaged with the defender. He pushes off, and it looks like he got hurt on his hand or wrist. That just kind of a weird type of injury. So hopefully that's not something crazy. And then Armstead just being out for a few weeks. I know he re-aggravated the pectoral injury, so that's something obviously you're going to have to pay a close attention to. And look, I think if Armstead's out, that's where Bushrod comes in. And, you know, it's just those three pieces of the puzzle. If they're missing two of those guys, then it's suddenly going to be a really hard uphill battle for the offensive line. It's been absolutely stellar all season. Not saying they can't get it done with what they got, but, you know, when you have Armstead in there and Pete and the guys that are normally in there's just a different element to this offense.
Now, you mentioned that Armstead, and I'm using my air quotes here, re-aggravated an injury. Now, John, you're in the locker room. You're talking to these guys. Have you heard any rumors, any scuttlebutt, anything that you could share with us? I mean, is it a complete tear? Is it an injury that, like, is it healing as we speak and he just had a setback? Or is it something basically it's torn, he's just going to have to gut it out, and at no point will he be better until he has surgery or, you know, 6 months rehab?
I think he's doing what he can to get, you know, better. I mean, the thing is, he's feeling better, you know, and he's wanting to come back and such. So, look, I think it was just one of those that he's trying to naturally let it heal. So he's working out, he's doing drills, he's doing a lot of different things. But obviously, you know, if you've ever hurt yourself or any of the areas like that, that muscle area can get aggravated once you start getting real game action, or one little thing can kind of, you know, really just throw you off a little bit. But look, I think he's, optimistic about it. I think the team's pretty optimistic about it. And at all, you know, he's been feeling good over that course that he was rehabbing. And, you know, he comes back and it's not, but I don't know. He just shut himself down is what I think, and making sure that it didn't get any worse than what it was. But I feel like they can have him in the locker room and where he's been present and on the field, and he'll still make an impact.
Now, switching over to a different position group, I feel like I always felt like Armstead and offensive line in general, but specifically Armstead, was part of the reason why we saw some struggles on offense. But, man, I knew that aside from Michael Thomas, we didn't have a lot of receiving threats. When Ted Ginn came back, it seemed to open up a whole new element to our offense. And although I called it the week before, so I don't want to act like this is something new, I knew he would be important, but more as like he's a veteran receiver and we have a lot of young guys out there. But he was a lot more important to that offense than even I realized.
Yeah, absolutely. He just opens up the field a lot more. And that's what I was saying, you know. They didn't have him against the Eagles. And that's something to be encouraged about, just because you saw the offense kind of hit a little bit of a dull point with him out of the lineup to kind of catch up to him. And, you know, Peyton's challenge the other guys, like Traquan Smith has to get involved, there's some catches Kirkwood has to make. I mean, those younger guys have got to make up. Make big plays when they are counted on, for sure. But look, Ted Ginn back in the offense helps with Michael Thomas. You got to respect the vertical game once Ginn's in. And even if it's just as a decoy or a different look or anything like that, I mean, it's still going to end up trying to work for you. And look, I get the Eagles' secondary has been better. Like Avante Maddox, this guy has really come on for this team. But at the same time, look, we're back to this old adage, or this point where the Saints offense has all the weapons. And now you're going to have to pick your poison when it comes to matchup. And, you know, right now, the way you look at it, you're going to see a lot of different looks for the Saints team. I don't think they've opened up the whole playbook, but I feel like it's coming.
Well, and that's interesting, because last time we had a bunch of undrafted guys catching touchdown passes. I feel like the addition of Ted Ginn is going to stress that Eagles defense, because while they didn't score a lot of points, I saw the Bears and Trubisky make plays in the passing game, especially towards the end of the game where they needed plays to get a field goal that eventually got, you know, again, air quotes, blocked. But I just don't know that those guys, when they match up against a true offense that has weapons and a great quarterback, that they'll be able to match up in a way. I got about 20 seconds, John. Give me predictions on this game. Give me a score.
Well, you know, it's not going to be a blowout. I think the Saints are going to win this game. I'm thinking like a 30-20, maybe 30-17 type victory. I don't think they're going to blow out the earth, but expect to be highly competitive. But Saints in the Superdome, the favorites, they've got to be. They got to win, and I think they're going to win.
All right, John Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
Well, it's your old buddy Chef Pierre Gautreau. Y'all gather around the radio and we gonna listen to some BS and Beer podcast. Ooh, ça c'est bon, that's a good show, yeah.
Number the Dog, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, the BS and Beer Podcast Crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio,
yo.
Wesley Coleman. Listen, I found this interesting. Did you guys hear that Tim Tebow recently came out and told the media that Sean Payton discussed doing the Taysom Hill role for the Saints. Now, the reason I'm bringing this in right now, because I think I'm going to tie it into another one of the games that was played this weekend. Baltimore, Lamar Jackson. I heard during the draft all this stuff that Peyton wanted him, Peyton wanted Lamar Jackson, and I was just like, all the stuff that he could do with Lamar Jackson. Having said that, I didn't believe it. Now I look back on it, and I think there might be some validity to it. If he was already talking to Tim Tebow about doing something similar to what Taysom Hill was doing, couldn't you say that, man, at some point maybe he is excited about the potential of getting an athletic quarterback that he can do Taysom Hill / Tim Tebow / Lamar Jackson type stuff? Now, Lamar Jackson, you know, talk about it, the playoff game, Baltimore, the Chargers, you know, Lamar Jackson may have been a Saint.
All right, you want me to say something or not?
In a word, no.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let me put it to you this way. Just look at the body. Tim Tebow's body, Lamar Jackson's body. Taysom Hill's body, Lamar Jackson's body.
You don't have nothing to say. You're just going to be quiet over there, huh?
Yeah.
I said no.
The thing is that people were talking about Lamar Jackson coming to the Saints as a high draft pick and an eventual starter.
Exactly.
Sean Payton was never going to use, you know, Taysom Hill is not going to be a starter. He's always known that. The whole our quarterback's in the building. We all took all of that and, oh, I guess he's, you know. And Tim Tebow wasn't going to be the starter. I don't believe. So,
but both were good enough to be able to pass the ball well enough.
To be a threat.
And both are big, muscular guys that if you hand them the ball and you want to just get 2 yards, he'll get you the third yard because he won't go down.
Yeah.
You see? And both of them have enough speed that if you pass them the ball on a short route, again, they're big. They'll beat somebody in a short route and then carry it out.
Or one of the things, too, to just extrapolate on what you're talking about, Taysom Hill, how many times have we seen him literally run over guys or break tackles and turn a 2 yard gain? Or
the
even
15.
I was watching the Philadelphia Eagles game from early in the season. He had a play where he got hit 4 yards in the backfield, stiffed arm a guy, and ended up picking up, went all the way to the outside, running for the sideline, had enough speed. And eventually picked up a yard. Now, it's 1 yard, but it could have been a 5. It was a 6 yard gain relative to where he got hit the first time.
Right.
So you need a guy, if you're going to run him that way, he needs to have the ability to actually run the ball and be strong. And the threat, maybe he's not a great passer. You can't put him in there as a backup quarterback or your starter and just have him throw the ball. But if he was to drop back and pass, he is a threat to potentially hit a pass. So, what I'm saying is I see Tim Tebow and Taysom Hill similar in that way. They're both big, strong kids. The potential is there for them to throw the ball. But I think what Tomas is saying, and I don't know, Wesley, Lamar Jackson, he doesn't have the Tim Tebow, Taysom Hill body that can take a pounding like that.
Yeah, I think that where Tim Tebow always wanted to be a quarterback and people looked at him were like, you're a running back and you are a football player. We believe that. But he's built like a running back more than a quarterback and obviously didn't have the ability to necessarily throw the ball accurately. No. Lamar Jackson has been complimented as far as being a good passer. I think that right now, I mean, he's a young rookie he's too nervous in there and he's just going to be – he's going to get some growing pains. But there's potential for him to be a quarterback. I really don't see Sean Payton wanting that as his permanent replacement quarterback someday after having Drew Brees. I think that Peyton's smart enough to go, hey – if I had a halfback who I can hand the ball to and can run for 3 yards, or that guy could throw the ball, that'd be kind of fun to do that 8 times a game. But I couldn't see him actually ever devising a game plan.
Right
now, we can't get him for the last 12 years to run the ball on 3rd and 2. He doesn't want to have a running offense. I mean, he's always wanting to throw the ball no matter what.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. That's pretty deep stuff there,
yeah,
Heath.
Yeah, I agree.
I appreciate it. He's not one of the best in the business for nothing, folks, right there. It's the BS and
you
beer analysis.
You to me like I didn't have –
I
got nothing.
Because, during the commercial break, y'all all talking about it for 15 minutes nonstop.
I'm
had to literally
out.
Stop y'all from talking to start the show. And
well,
now
– you came up with something that doesn't jive because Lamar Jackson can be, as Wesley says, in time – might be a pretty decent quarterback from the pocket with the ability to sort of get himself some extra time to throw the ball. But he's a thin-framed fellow, okay? He's not in the same makeup as Tebow and Hill.
I will say this. Know? I don't know that any of the three of those guys that we talked about separated themselves in their ability to throw the ball.
No, well, definitely honestly, Lamar Jackson did in his game. But to just to
– Now, Lamar Jackson only because at the end of the game, you know, the Chargers were just sitting back. That's the only reason he made yards in the end of the game. Okay, because for the rest of the game, he didn't do squat.
No. That's okay. The thing they'll say. Boy, the big comeback. Listen, if you don't understand the game and understand that an NFL team will generally, they just want you to burn the clock out and end the game. So these comebacks at the end of the game are managed comebacks. Now, what ends up happening occasionally, somebody makes a play, somebody makes a big catch, and somebody screws up, and you lose.
Yeah, but when you're going to happen.
But when there's 4 minutes, 6 minutes left in the game, and you're up by 12 points, and you're starting to get yards, what they're wanting to do is keep you in bounds, run the clock, and then manage the game and get out of there with a win. And
right, they changed their defense. The whole rest of the time in that game, they're playing seven defensive backs. When it got down to that point where they were like, okay, we feel pretty good, we want to kill the clock now, they changed the defense. They went back to their regular defense, four rushing, two linebackers, and the rest of the defensive backs. So that's why he started making yards. Yes. Yeah.
Am I the only one offended that Dave's comparing a minor league second baseman with the Mets and the 32nd pick in the draft to the Stormin' Mormon? I mean, really?
I'm offended. And I'm also offended that he says he'll never be a starting quarterback.
Like, shouldn't you be throwing a fit that he's not in the Pro Bowl right now? And so you're comparing Tim Tebow to him.
That's right.
Wait a minute. Are you the same people that said that Drew Brees should – matter of fact, both of y'all said Drew Brees needs to retire. So I don't hear nothing. So send your emails to bsandbeer@icloud.com and address it to Tomas and Heath, and you can throw Wesley in there
too.
Sure,
go ahead, because it's not my email.
My point that somehow –
But if you want to get to me, you just have to know that hotline.
The hotline. You're going to answer the hotline? Tomas is taking calls on the hotline now. 701-901-1295. And we don't have any hotline calls. That's why I didn't even bother to.
But you have to keep promo, brother.
You got to keep.
If you're not prospecting, you're not making any business.
Matter of fact, something that we need to do is.
Isn't that true, Wesley?
We're getting close to the end of the football season.
Yeah.
And we don't always last year. I think we stayed on until towards the end of after the draft, somewhere around there. And so we got to make sure that people know how to find us because we're on year-round via podcast.
That's correct.
So you can go to Podbean. You can find us on it's been so long, I don't remember. Where can we find us?
iTunes, iTunes Podbean.
App. Anywhere
Plus,
fine podcasts
Google Play.
Are located.
Play. Yeah. Oh, which say Google Fuss.
I said Google Plus.
Oh, Google Plus. Oh, sorry. I was like, and a new thing. I didn't hear about that. That's new. Sign us up for some Google Plus.
Twitter.
Twitter. Yeah, you can find us on Twitter. All that stuff. But if you want to listen to the show in the off season and we're not on 97.7, you can always find us the podcast. So check us out. Make sure you don't miss an exciting week of the BS and Beer podcast. Anyway,
we'll have a special segment also in the off season.
Oh, here we go.
Where Wesley and I will be talking about wine and how much Bitcoin it costs you to get any of the wine bottles we have in our collection.
BS and Wine podcast.
Yeah. It's just to be a segment. A segment where we talk about wine and Bitcoin. It's very important that we educate our fans on the
downloads are going through the roof right now.
Right now.
Everybody's signing up. They're like, how can I find this? Get the alert. Hey, hit that like button.
That's right.
Follow us because you don't miss any of it. They're going to talk about a Bordeaux.
A Bordeaux?
I don't know.
Do you know a Bordeaux?
Some Bordeaux or some.
Almost got it.
Help me out here,
one
man.
Thing, we were talking about some of the games last weekend, and we can maybe hit on this more later.
Trying to get serious on this.
I'll just say that I watched four games this past weekend that were pretty ugly NFL football games.
Yeah.
I didn't watch a single game that I was like, oh my goodness. Like, and believe me, like we've seen the Saints play some bad games this year, but I didn't watch a single team of the eight teams play that I was just like, wow, that's a playoff team that I'm worried about coming into the Dome or about running into in Atlanta.
Yep.
Did you guys see any team that?
Nope.
No. Hey, Wesley, man. Good stuff there, buddy. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We got a new host on the show. We'll introduce him to you when we get back. Hour number two, straight ahead.
And just sit here for a while.
Why don't waste time to tune into our podcast? Oh, girl, give you all time to David Heath and Tomas. We do this every I love this podcast. Oh, but you don't.
time.